You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to our program. This is Bob Gilligan of the Catholic Conference of Illinois. And this morning, we have a very interesting show for you this morning, and I'm sure that we have many listeners out there who will be anxious to hear what we're going to be talking about. In terms of briefly mentioning some of the lineup today, we're going to be talking with, we're very lucky to have this morning with us Bishop Thomas John Papraki of the Springfield Diocese, who formerly of Chicago, an auxiliary bishop in Chicago for many years, and many listeners, I'm sure, are familiar with Bishop Papraki and some of his time when he was up here in Chicago. And then we're going to be talking about a number of issues with Bishop Papraki that have been in the news lately. Primarily his work or his being appointed to a committee from the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops on Religious Liberties, as well as some of the challenges to religious liberties that we are experiencing here in our state and in our country. And so we'll open up the program with that topic here this morning. And then we'll be talking a little bit with Joyce DeRiga, who is the editor of the Catholic New World, about some of the issues and the stories that will be appearing in the Catholic New World in the upcoming edition. And then we're also fortunate enough to be joined this morning with one of our colleagues who does some work in Springfield talking about healthcare exchanges, what the state of Illinois needs to do in order to enact changes from the federal healthcare reform act that was passed a couple years ago, the very controversial healthcare reform act, and that I'm drawing a blank on the name of it, but I think we all know what we're talking about. We're going to talk about some of the challenges that we're going to be facing in Illinois with regard to the healthcare exchanges, what's covered and what's not covered in terms of the health care plans and what we can all do about it. But first, what we'd like to do here this morning is we hopefully have on the line with us Bishop Thomas John Papraki of the Springfield Diocese. Bishop Papraki, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Good morning.
Good morning and welcome, and thank you so much for joining us. I know you've been very busy. We've been very busy. Some of these topics we're going to talk about have been in the news lately, and you've been very much involved with many of these topics that we're going to be talking about. First and foremost, the creation of the committee from the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops on Religious Liberty, that you are now a member of that committee. And also we'd like to talk about some of the challenges that we're undergoing here in Illinois with what's going on with Catholic Charities and our ability to contract with the state of Illinois, or lack thereof, as well as some of the challenges that we've been having with Governor Quinn and the potential meeting that we're going to be having in sometime in December. So with that, if people want to join our conversation or have any questions or comments for Bishop Papraki or myself, I'll give the number now, and I'll give it periodically throughout the program. The number is 312-255-8408. That's 312-255-8408. Bishop, let's talk a little bit about the committee from the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. You were named a member. I believe Bishop Laurie is the chairperson, the chairman of the committee. And maybe talk a little bit about what led to the creation of this new committee on religious liberty.
Yes, Bishop William Laurie of Bridgeport, Connecticut, was appointed to be the chairman of this committee by Archbishop Timothy Dolan, our president, the Archbishop of New York. And this came about in conversations among bishops at the at different levels at the administrative committee, primarily in the last year. And as we talked about it, it was obvious that there was a lot of energy around this issue, because I think many bishops have been facing challenges locally, as we have here with Catholic Charities. Bishop Laurie was facing a rather draconian measure in Connecticut that would have really interfered with the governance of the church and the Catholic dioceses. And so there was, as I said, a lot of energy and then agreement that we should go forward. So we officially last week at our annual meeting in Baltimore, as a body of bishops, approved the creation of an ad hoc committee on religious liberty. And so we'll be looking at this at a number of levels, being very conscious of the needs at the state as well as the federal level. And one of the threats that we're seeing at the federal level of our national government was with the mandate of the Federal Department of Health and Human Services mandating insurance coverage for private insurers that would require coverage for contraception and abortifacient pills and sterilization and measures that are contrary to Catholic Church teaching. And the only exception, and there was a very, very narrowly written exception that would have exempted only those entities that only employ people of the same faith and only care for people of the same faith. Well, you know, that first of all, you can imagine the outrage if suddenly our Catholic hospitals and Catholic charities said we're only going to hire Catholics, we're only going to provide services for Catholics. That's never been our approach from the very beginning. Even Jesus wouldn't have qualified for such an exemption, and he made it very clear with his parable of the of the Good Samaritan that we're supposed to take care of everyone. So there have been some discussions about getting that that change, but the very fact that something like that is proposed is very ominous, and so bishops are very concerned about these threats to our religious freedom.
It seems like, in addition to the DHH demand, that the Department of Health and Human Services mandate that Bishop Papraki just talked about, that mandates coverages of sterilizations and contraceptions and health care plans, it seems like there's so many other, if you will, I hate to use this word, but attacks on religious freedom. The Department of Justice has come out recently and said that they do not feel that they need to defend the Defense of Marriage Act, because I think they cited that it's biased and prejudiced. Obviously, the Catholic Church teaches that marriage is between a man and a woman, so that creates potential problems. We have a case in front of the U.S. Supreme Court about what type of individuals religious entities can hire or not hire, and reasons for dismissal. And I think listeners may be aware also that recently, I think it was the Department of Migration that the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops organizes, was denied a contract to help victims of human trafficking, and it's alleged that one of the reasons that contract may not have been granted to the Catholic entity is because of our position on abortion and contraception. So it seems like it's coming from a number of different angles at the federal level, and we'll talk a little bit about the state issues as well. What, Bishop Papraki, what's driving that? Is it the culture? Is it the law? Is it why are we having these problems that seemingly are coming very quickly?
Well, we're in the midst, unfortunately, of the these culture wars where people are pushing an ideological agenda, and in pushing an agenda on one side, they often perhaps don't see the consequences, or if they do, in some cases they are intended consequences. For example, the decision of our administration, in the Justice Department in Washington, not to defend the Defense of Marriage Act, which basically says that marriage is between one man and one woman, and that states don't have to recognize the laws of other states that have attempted to promote same-sex marriage. Well, the ramifications of that, our military chaplains, our Catholic chaplains, for example, were recently being pressured that they were going to have to do same-sex marriages. And when they protested that would be against their religion, the only defense they had, and legally, was they said, well, the Federal Defense of Marriage Act applies nationally, and so, you know, that was a protection for them. But if you take away what they call it DOMA, in short for its acronym, if you take away DOMA, then what protection do they have left? They have perhaps the First Amendment, but that's always very difficult to be, you know, going to court and trying to make an argument based on religious freedoms in the First Amendment.
We're talking with Bishop Thomas John Papraki of the Springfield and Illinois Diocese, who was formerly an auxiliary bishop in the Chicagoland area. We're talking about religious liberties and the challenges to religious liberties in our nation and our state. Don't go away. We'll be right back. And we want to hear your comments. 312-255-8408. We're talking about what's going on in Illinois as well as some other topics when we come right back. Don't go away.
Each night, thousands of families face homelessness in Chicago. Those families aren't just statistics. They're your neighbors, your friends. They could even be part of your own family.
I had lost my job, so I wasn't working, and I had run out of all my savings, so I ended up losing my apartment. And I went to stay with my sister, but she's got this small little itty-bitty condo, so we were all sleeping on the floor. So I started calling around for the housings and everything, and they told me to call Catholic Charities, and it just happened when I got through. Joanne answered the phone, and she goes, "You know, you got me just at the right time. We're actually doing interviews right now. You want to come in?" And gave me the whole rundown of everything and how the program works and everything. She goes, "Is this something you can do?" And I looked at her and says, "You're offering me a roof over my head, something more than I've got right now. And I'm willing to do anything to keep that roof over my head."
Catholic Charities of Chicago is there to provide a helping hand to the homeless. Find out how to help us help the most needy. Visit CatholicCharities.net.
Real men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need.
I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298 or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
Welcome back, everybody. This is Bob Gilligan, and we're fortunate enough this morning to be joined by Bishop Thomas John Papraki of the Diocese of Springfield in Illinois, and we're talking about his recent appointment to a new committee, an ad hoc committee, that is a part of the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. Before the break, we were talking about some of the challenges to religious liberty that we face here in this nation, and Bishop, is it too early to determine exactly what the committee will do? Or I know it's been set up, but is there any information you can shed, bring to light about what will the committee specifically be doing?
Well, we had our first meeting a week ago Sunday in Baltimore, and so it was just sort of an opportunity for us to meet each other and mm-hmm. to start laying the foundation and brainstorm on some ideas here. There are a number of levels that we are going to be working at. First and foremost, in some ways, is the level of teaching and formation, because what's obvious here is that we're challenged not only by forces outside of the Catholic Church, but even within. There are many weaknesses within the Catholic Church, and we see, for example, measures that are actually hostile to the Catholic Church being promoted by Catholic politicians.
Sure.
We see our own employees in some cases not understanding why the Church is taking certain positions and then having a difficult time defending what the mm-hmm. Church teaches. So there's a great need for us to work even internally with our own formation of our Catholic people. There will also be challenges in terms of what we do in the political arena, legal cases that mm-hmm. we'll have to defend the rights of the Church and make sure that we're getting the best legal representation we can to be able to assert our rights of religious freedom. And all of this, I think we also will need to be looking at the various ways that we speak out act even on the liturgical level. We talked, for example, the feast yesterday. We just celebrated the feast of Christ the King,
sure.
And so obviously it was just since we met last Sunday, it was too soon to do anything for yesterday. But we're talking in the future about perhaps making the solemnity of Christ the King an opportunity for us to look at that whole relationship between church and state, and that Christ is our sovereign, He is our King, and that everything comes in relation to that, like the great quote from St. Thomas More, "I am the king's good servant, but God's first."
Yeah.
You know, so things like that. We also look, speaking of Thomas More, that the period of time from the feast of St. Thomas More and John Fisher, the great martyrs during the persecution of Henry VIII, their feast is on June 22nd. And from June 22nd until, actually, if you go the day before that, on the eve of those saints, you take that to July 4th, the celebration of our independence in this country, that's about two-week period. We're talking about having a, what we would call a fortnight of freedom, where we would have something like, you know, a novena, except this would be over a two-week period of talking about the and celebrating liturgically the theme of religious freedom, culminating on the 4th of July when we celebrate the independence of our country.
Well, I think that's very exciting. In my conversations with lay Catholics and with many other people, I constantly hear that that request, which is to if we could hear more about these things, maybe we could be better informed. And I would imagine that by and large, people will embrace those sorts of efforts if there's a coordinated message. And I think one of the things that strikes me personally is that what you are talking about in terms of the Catholic notion of conscience and religious freedom is also what any non-Catholic would acknowledge in terms of the founding of our country. If you look at the founding documents of the founding fathers or what the American Revolution was all about, it was more than just a war a war between England. It was also the revolution was in part about our religious rights and our rights of conscience to pray and to participate in our faith life as we so choose. And I don't sense that there are enough people out there that make those connections between the founding fathers and what we were talking about here in American history and our faith. And that's unfortunate. And perhaps that effort that you're talking about during those 2 weeks, if that happens, would help people to understand those sort of things. Because I do think there's a lot of education that does need to go on. That's exciting. And I'm glad to hear that committee is doing that. If people want to talk about that or weigh in on what Bishop Papraki is outlining, the number is 312-255-8408. Bishop Papraki, in the next maybe 10 minutes or so that we have left, let's talk a little bit about Illinois. I know you have been very involved with what's going on with the Catholic charity situation, and maybe you could just bring listeners up to date in case they weren't aware of the status of the relationship with the state of Illinois and Catholic Charities agencies doing foster care.
Well, this all began about a year ago with the passage of the Illinois Religious Freedom Protection and Civil Union Act that Governor Quinn promoted himself very strongly. He lobbied for it on the floor of the Illinois legislature and signed this bill. And it's a good example of a bill where I think people, even the sponsors of this bill, were looking at it from one point of view of trying to do something for people in same-sex relationships, and didn't either in some cases didn't realize the unintended consequences, or in other cases simply those consequences were hijacked. For example, on the floor of the Senate, when this bill was being proposed, the question came up: well, would this affect social services or Catholic charities? And the co-sponsors said, "Oh no, it won't at all." Well, obviously, it did, and the way in which it did was that, you know, it's got this Orwellian title, Illinois Religious Freedom Protection. The only freedom protection apparently in there is that you is that the government won't force any minister of religion to do a same-sex marriage or civil union ceremony. Well, that's pretty much a given. I mean, from from our Catholic point of view, we also believe very much in Catholic social action, Catholic hospitals, Catholic schools, Catholic charities. This has been a part of our tradition, you know, from the very beginning in some ways. And it's reminiscent, in fact, for me, of the approach to religious freedom that was taken in the Soviet Union. I had the opportunity to visit the Soviet Union in 1988, shortly before it collapsed. And our tour guide was boasting how they had religious freedom and the Soviet Constitution, which we would think would be pretty laughable. But when asking her about that, pretty much what it came down to was religious freedom meant freedom of worship, that people were free to to pray privately. They were free even to some extent to pray in church, but they couldn't do anything outside of that. Anything that we would have, for example, of a Catholic school or a Catholic hospital or social services, absolutely forbidden in the Soviet Union. And there are forces here in our country that are moving us in that direction. And when they talk about religious freedom, what they really mean is freedom of worship. You can do what you want privately in your own little church or at home, but don't bring that into the public square.
Right.
And that's the threat to us, because, and that's what happened here. Basically, the state, in the name of tolerance of people, dealing with same-sex attraction, have been intolerant and have discriminated against the Catholic Church. Have basically pushed us out of foster care, which we've been taking care of children for about a century here in this state, and officially in a contractual basis with the government for about 40 years. And it was going fine, and everybody was giving, we always got very high marks for our foster care programs. But what happened was, the government basically decided that if we were not going to do civil union placements, that we were ineligible. And so we were discriminated against on the basis of our religious beliefs.
Right.
Simply told, well, if you're not going to do what the state tells you, well, then you can't do this anymore. So we've basically been pushed out of this.
Very similar to what I described earlier, which happened to migration with the contract for assisting victims of human trafficking, that if you hold these beliefs, you can't participate in the public square. And that's very unfortunate. We got to have to take another quick break. We have a couple phone callers on the line. We'll be right back. We're talking with Bishop John Papraki. Thomas John Papraki of the Diocese of Springfield, Illinois. Talk about religious freedom and religious liberties. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
The Catholic New World has been your faith resource for well over a century. Archbishop Patrick Feehan recognized the need for a strong Catholic voice in 1892 and launched Chicago's first Catholic newspaper. Bishop Feehan named our Catholic newspaper using a theme from the Columbian Exposition, the New World that gave people hope for a brighter future. Today, the Catholic New World is better than ever. It's a rich and diverse resource for Chicagoland Catholics with stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Cardinal Francis George and our team of columnists offer compelling insights on spirituality, catechesis, and evangelization. Visit our website at catholicnewworld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and while you're there, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777. Our look has changed, but we are still your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
Help unwrap the holiday spirit this season with Catholic Charities' annual Celebration of Giving. Catholic Charities invites you to help children and their families experience the joy and magic of the holiday spirit. Sponsor a family, donate a toy, or volunteer with us during the season. For more details, visit www.catholiccharities.net/celebration or call our hotline at 312-226-0650. That's 312-226-0650.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Bob Gilligan of the Catholic Conference of Illinois. We're talking with Bishop Thomas John Papraki of the Springfield Diocese. And as always, Bishop, I think that one of the things I've learned doing a Monday morning radio program is that people are a little slow, and then all of a sudden everybody calls at the end. So
okay.
This always happens. But that's good. That's a good thing. Anyway, we have a couple callers on the line, and I do want to talk a little bit about the conversation with the governor if we get a chance here. But we want to acknowledge the callers who took the time to call in as well. We have John. John's on the line from Crete. John, do you have a question or comment?
Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
Bishop Papraki, I don't know if you know my voice, but I know you're from St. Michael's and St. John Cantius, and I want to congratulate you. The American Polish paper had your picture and that you were against civil unions. I was glad to see that in the Polish paper. And then also, I want to talk about on the East Coast when the priest had an adoption agency. He closed it because he would not accept homosexuals. And I would hope there would be more activity. And here's a final comment. Last year, I attended the Chicago Tea Party, and I thought they were conservative financially and morally. But I had an anti-Ellen DeGeneres sign, and about eight of them buffeted me. I called the head of the Tea Party, and he said, well, there were cops there, but But they were smart, those homosexuals. They didn't physically attack me, but they buffeted me. And they said, I'll bet you're against homosexual marriage. I said, no, I'm against homosexuality. That's where it begins. So thank you for taking my call. Bye.
Thanks, John. Bishop, do you want to make a comment about church teaching on homosexuality? Or?
Well, yeah. You know, basically what the church teaches is that the proper avenue for sexual activity is within marriage, a commitment of lifelong and exclusive relationship between a man and a woman. And that, you know, comes from the beginning in the Bible, where creation, God created them male and female. And so, you know, the decisions of the Catholic Church in this regard to protect marriage are based on that principle. And in particular, the decisions, as you mentioned, about whether or not to offer foster care to fight these cases in court are you know, difficult decisions to make. Mm-hmm. Always, we were very fortunate here in Chicago that, and in the state of Illinois, that we had the donated legal services of a very wonderful organization called the Thomas More Law Center.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of the reasons why we were able to initiate this the lawsuit that we had regarding Catholic Charities, because to hire lawyers and do that is normally very expensive, but I'm very grateful for the pro bono efforts that were given to us by the Thomas More Law Society.
Yeah, I'll echo that. I'm familiar with what the Thomas More Law Center did, and I can tell you they spent a lot of hours preparing briefs and doing very good work. The briefs that they wrote, they were very well drafted, and I think they were persuasive. That doesn't necessarily mean that courts accept those arguments. The court ruled on another matter, but I'd encourage anybody who's interested to take a look at what Thomas More Law Center produced with regard to defense of religious liberty. They were very well done, very strong arguments. We have another call on the line. I think it's Dan from Mendota. I don't know where Mendota is, Dan.
It's on the other side of 3951. It's way out here.
It's
by
way
group.
Out there. Right. Dan, what is you have a comment or a question?
I wanted to ask, basically, as far as the different agencies are judged against each other, is, I don't know, pedophilia and abuse one of the criteria that they use?
In terms of contracting with the state?
Well, yeah, if they were contracted with the state and you had to be judged, that was probably one of the criteria. My assumption is that Catholics, good Catholics who hold themselves accountable to a higher standard, would be more reputable and provide a better environment for children. And us as Catholics, having been asleep at the wheel or unknowingly not doing anything when we should have about this gay marriage amendment, have actually hurt kids. And it is not unlike what Joe Paterno possibly went through when he didn't do enough either. We haven't done enough to protect our children, and they slid one past us with this gay marriage thing. And if we don't do something at the national level, it's going to hurt a lot more children.
Dan, thanks for your comment. I think that what we're talking about is, as Bishop Papraki just outlined, which is that marriage is between one man and one woman. And that is not only, I think, according to the church teaching, but it's also a function of natural law. It's true by nature. And that's what we are basing many of our decisions upon, which is, you know, natural law, which is marriage between one man and one woman. I think, as Bishop Papraki also outlined, that I think any objective review, and there are objective reviews of the work of Catholic Charities, is that it's been an outstanding agency that has provided incalculable resources and the number of good foster parents to children who are in need. And it's a shame that the state of Illinois can't recognize that in its contracting procedures, in that the good work it's done was not evaluated properly, and the decision that they made erroneously was that Catholic Charities is not worthy of a state contract, and that's unfortunate. I don't know, Bishop Prack, do you want to add anything to that?
Well, the hard work of a foster care placement is with proper screening, you know, to make sure that you've chosen foster parents that will provide a good home,
right?
And so you need caseworkers to do that, and you know, that was basically the partnership that Catholic Charities had with the state, was you know, for the hiring of caseworkers, and the contract made it possible for us to hire those people. I might point out, by the way, that the contracts with the state never provided 100% of the income.
Mm-hmm.
So, in a sense, for these past 40 years, the Catholic Church has been subsidizing and underwriting foster care that has been taking place in our state. So, I mean, with that being taken away, that falls to the state and to whatever agencies are going to pick this up to have to do those tasks.
A lot of work to do. Bishop, before we go, I know it's been in the media up here, and I don't know if it's been in the press down there, but just to acknowledge that it looks like the bishops will be talking to the governor about some of these issues that we're talking about now. It looks like December 16th is a potential date for that meeting, and so I don't know if you want to say anything about that situation, but I mean, I think the engagement with the governor is we're trying.
Yes, we are. I mean, I'm glad that we'll have the opportunity to have a conversation with him, because it's important to talk out some of these things. We were critical of the governor for his stance that he took in promoting this civil union act,
mm-hmm.
and also just last week giving a pro-choice leadership award,
right.
and helping an organization that does a lot to promote abortion. And so we were critical of that, and he responded by saying, well, he wished that the bishops would have, or at least the cardinal would have called him. And so we said, well, fine, and we're glad to see that you'd like to talk. And so we basically said, when would you like to sit down and talk? And he responded that he would be willing to do that next month. So I'm hoping that it'll be a fruitful conversation. I ask the listeners to pray for that so that have a conversion and change of heart on these issues.
And listeners need to know that, I mean, it almost goes without saying that the bishops are always willing to talk at almost any time and any place, and any entity that doesn't acknowledge that is, well, you can draw your own conclusions. We're always willing to talk to just about anybody at any time, schedule is only permitting, so we do make ourselves available as we can. I understand that you're will be participating in the nativity scene coming up. I think that's in Springfield, and that's what coming up next week, I believe.
It is. It's coming up next week on the.
It's the 29th. Yes, if I remember.
At the state capitol in the rotunda, where there is a nativity scene that is put up through private funding, and it's one expression of religious liberty. I know that there is a nativity scene that is also put up at the Civic Center, or the Daily.
I think Daily Plaza, right? Yeah.
Right, mm-hmm. And that's important for people to realize that there are restrictions on what the government can pay for, but that the citizens have a right to express themselves in the public forum, and that's been acknowledged and protected in legal decisions.
Bishop Papraki asked for your prayers, and I'll just reiterate that that's an important conversation coming up with the bishops and Governor Quinn and sometime in December. So I just remind listeners to please pray for the bishops, and in terms of hopefully that meeting will produce something positive as we go forward. And anything else, Bishop, that you'd like to add before we wrap up here? Thanks for your good work on the religious liberties issue, and I'm sure that issue's not going away.
Well, speaking of Catholic Charities, we also have a fundraising hockey game for Catholic Charities on December 7th, and I'm going to be in the nets playing goalie, and so we're inviting people, particularly in the Springfield area. We'll have the game out here at the Nelson Center at 7 p.m. on December 7th. Anybody from Chicago wants to come and watch the game, we'd be happy to have you too.
Good, good, good. Well, good luck in the nets on the 7th, and hopefully that's an off night for the Blackhawks too, so the hockey fans can go watch you guys.
All right.
Bishop Papraki, thanks so much for joining us, and as we say goodbye, don't go away, because we're going to be joined by Joyce DiRiga from the Catholic New World, and we're going to talk also about the health care insurance exchange bill that is pending in Springfield. This is Bob Gilligan. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Most interment arrangements at the 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries are made through a pre-need plan. Your thoughtful planning today is economically prudent and contributes to peace of mind for you and your loved ones. Catholic Cemeteries counselors are available at your convenience. For more information, call 708-449-6100. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Bob Gilligan of the Catholic Conference of Illinois, and we thank once again Bishop Papraki for joining us during the first half hour of the program. And just as a reminder for everybody to go out and watch Bishop play goalie. He's pretty good. I've seen him play. He's very good. On December 7th at I think it's the Nelson Center in Springfield. Joyce will be with us later. Joyce DiRigo, the editor of the New World. At least we hope she'll be with us later. And she's going to preview what's coming up in the New World. But so sitting in for her for a little while, we're going to be joined by Ralph Rivera, which is what we talked about during the first half hour. And Ralph is going to talk to us a little bit about the healthcare exchange. Bill. Ralph, are you with us?
I'm here. Hi, Bob.
Good morning, Ralph. How are you?
Good.
I hope you are over lamenting the broken thumb of Jay Cutler. That's bad development. Speaking of health insurance, that's a good lead into our topic here.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's got good health insurance.
So. I think so, too.
Ralph is with the Illinois Citizens for Life, and Ralph does a lot of work in the pro-life arena, and I'm sure many people recognize his name. If you want to talk to Ralph or have a question or comment for him, the number is 312-255-8408. Ralph, I set this up at the top of the show. In essence, really what we're doing here, I guess, is we have to, the states have to enact changes to their respective laws to accommodate the federal healthcare law that passed, known as Obamacare, but it's actually, what is the title of it? The Affordable
It's Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act.
I got to get that through my head. Patient,
yeah.
Okay.
Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act. Yeah, I'm trying to put a shorter thing to it.
I think
say that all day long.
People are calling it APACA. I've heard that. I don't know.
Sure.
APACA, basically the health care insurance bill.
Right.
Ralph, so why do we have to? So the bill passed, people will remember, a very controversial piece of legislation that's still being discussed. And that was back in, March of last year, I think
that's
it
correct.
Was. And
March 21st, 2010.
Very good. Yeah. Very good. Somebody did their homework this morning. And so what do we have to do in Illinois?
Well, the law requires, this Affordable Care Act requires that states will set up exchanges in which these exchange boards will decide what are qualifying health plans within their state, what are approved, and each state must do that. I'm not an expert on this, but my understanding is that if they do not do this, then the federal government will set up the exchange. So each state is really required to do this and set it up before this law goes into full effect, which is 2014.
Okay. When in 2014? Is that the end of the year? Do they have the beginning of the year? Do you know?
No.
Okay. Okay. I'm just curious. So by 2014, you have to have a state exchange set up.
Right.
And the concerns that you have with the exchange are what?
Well, with the law itself and creating the exchanges, what we want to see and what is allowed under the Affordable Health Care Act is that states can choose by affirmative action or statement to prohibit any tax dollars from going to a qualified health plan that covers abortion. So, in other words, if we can put into this law for Illinois we can say that any qualified health plan cannot include abortion coverage. And so that's what we are seeking to do. And in this current bill, Senate Bill 1313, and I'm sure over time these numbers may change, but this is the current bill. This bill will be amended to set up the exchange board, their duties, responsibilities, and so forth. This is an excellent time to try to get our language in that says that none of these qualifying health plans can that deal with tax dollars can cover abortion. Now, I spoke with the sponsor, Representative Frank Martino, who's a good guy. We work with him on a number of things, but he's in leadership and he's handling the bill. And Representative Martino said that initially he said, well, the exchange board would make that decision. And I said, you know, Frank, no. The General Assembly should make that decision. And that should be that we shouldn't leave it up to this board whether they're going to do it or not. The General Assembly should put in language that says any qualifying health plan that deals with tax dollars cannot provide coverage for abortion.
So the message to the General Assembly is actually, in some ways, twofold. I would say that, first of all, it's that abortion is not health care. And secondarily, I think the other message is that a board that is appointed by the legislature should not be entrusted to make these decisions, that our elected officials should.
That's correct.
Good, good. Ralph, can we take a quick break here? We want to continue this conversation talking about the health care reform legislation that passed in Congress back in March of 2010, and now what we're going to be asked to do here in Illinois in order to make that law effective. It's about 9:40 in the morning. This is Bob Gilligan. We're talking to Ralph Rivera of the Illinois Citizens for Life. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the three R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son is in the number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
If you haven't read the Catholic New World lately, you're in for quite a surprise. It's bigger, bolder, and better than ever before.
The Catholic New World is a rich and diverse resource for Catholics throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. It carries stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Our most read column is by Cardinal Francis George, our shepherd, teacher, and leader.
Our columnists provide support in spirituality and evangelization. And you'll want to browse the Around the Archdiocese page, your gateway to Catholic activities.
No matter how busy you are, stay connected to your church by visiting CatholicNewWorld.com and sign up to follow us on Twitter.
Go to CatholicNewWorld.com to view our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and to subscribe. Or call 312-534-7777.
Subscribe now, and a portion of your fee will go to the Archdiocesan school of your choice. It's your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Bob Gilligan of the Catholic Conference of Illinois, and you probably know by that music that our next guest is Joyce Tariga of the Catholic New World. I promised you her at 9:30, but we have now located Joyce, and she's on the air with us to tell us about what is going on in the bigger, bolder, and better Catholic New World in this upcoming edition. Joyce, are you with us?
Yeah, I know. I listened to that, and I was like all excited. I want to buy the Catholic New World. Sorry about my cell phone. I didn't hear it ring.
That's okay. With this music going, I feel like going for a run.
There you go.
Joyce, what's going on in the world?
On this past issue, we've got, we checked with a bunch of parishes to see how they were for the missile preparation that starts, as you know, on this Sunday. And, you know, some are better than others, and the general consensus seems to be that human nature, we, as people in the pew and other places, didn't probably pay attention as much as we should, but, you know, we'll do it. It'll get done, and we'll learn the new words, and hopefully we'll learn, you know, a better understanding of the Mass along with it. But
right. I'll tell you, at St. Juliana's Parish where we go to, we are ready. We've been talking about this for 5 weeks, so we're more than ready.
Oh, praise God. That's good.
Yeah, they've been fantastic about it.
Good. Some pastors have been preaching on it for a couple of weeks.
It's incredible. Yeah.
A couple months, and others are just saying, hey, you know, we'll just jump in with both feet, you know, both.
Sure.
We also have a bit about Advent, because that starts in essentially how to look at gift giving through the lens of the Christ child, and making it more personal and making it more life-giving in the presence that you give, and maybe giving more of your time if, you know, a child could spend more time with their parent, that kind of thing.
Yeah, being that we've been talking about Christmas for a month, Christmas music, it's just overkill. But yeah, we'll continue to focus on the real meaning of Christmas.
Yeah, and of course it'll end right on December 26th.
Yes,
we take it a lot farther than that.
Right.
So,
I'm just warming up. Right.
And then in the next issue, we'll have more about Advent. We'll talk to some people about the post coverage of the missile implementation to see how it's going, and then we just went to NCYC Thursday and Friday. Karen Kellaway, our photographer, and I went, and I've never been, and that's like World Youth Day on a little bit of a smaller scale, but just the kids had tons of energy and just praising Jesus and, you know, experiencing their own conversions, and it's just a really powerful thing. It was held down in Indianapolis, so we had 500 kids from Chicago go.
And NCYC stands for?
Oh, I'm sorry. National Catholic Youth Conference.
I was going to guess that.
Yeah, it's held every 2 years, and it'll be in Indianapolis again in 2 years.
That sounds like a great addition. That sounds like it's all bigger, bolder, and better, as your ad says. Joyce, thanks. Anything else you need to add?
That's it. But if you want to check us out, we're at CatholicNewWorld.com, and you can subscribe there and check out the photos and the recent stories.
Joyce, thanks so much.
You're welcome. Have a good day.
Oh, the music continues. Thanks, Joyce, for joining us, and we're back. We have Ralph on the phone, correct? Is Ralph still with us?
I'm here.
He's out taking a run after hearing that inspirational music.
That's right.
He's out to buy a Catholic New World. I think that's where you're running out to your store right now after that promo, getting the bigger, bolder, and better Catholic New World. Ralph, thanks for continuing with our conversation. And so, as we were saying before the break, I think the challenge for us is that, you know, we have to get a message out there that saying both that this committee of state bureaucrats? I mean, you could say committee of bureaucrats.
I guess.
And shouldn't be making these sort of decisions, as well as the concern is that in the state of Illinois, we would hope that abortion would not be considered health care, would be considered a covered service under these exchanges. Where do you see this going? So where are we in the legislative calendar, Ralph? Let's back up there, because I know this is confusing for a lot of people who don't live these issues like you and I do.
Right.
Let's talk about where we are in the calendar this year and next year.
Well, there, as you know, next week, Tuesday after Thanksgiving, there's a one-day session. They're in for some tax breaks for some of the businesses in Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
But so I don't think they're going to deal with this, but they're going to be in. And then the next time scheduled is really January 31st, so they're almost not going to be in at all until the end of January, and then the new session begins. And so that's when I believe we'll see some real strong action. But, of course, you know, I would encourage the viewers or the listeners now to voice their opinions and get to their legislators now and state where they feel legislators should be on this issue. Because, it's better to do it now than keep that dialogue going than try to catch up and say, you know, we do an alert and say in 2 days something's going to happen.
You know, that's a good point, Ralph, and maybe we should talk about that for a little bit because it is November, what is today, the week before Thanksgiving here as we prepare
21st?
For Thanksgiving. Yeah. And you know, truth be told, that legislators are in their district offices this week. Like you said, there's that one date, November 29th, that they will not be in their office. They'll be in Springfield. But outside of that, this is an excellent time if you have concerns about any issue pending in Springfield, not only on life issues, but any other issue. December is a very good time to catch members of the General Assembly. They're in their district offices. People are not generally thinking about these things, but the purpose of our program here today is to give people a heads up that we're going to have a conversation in Illinois in the next, 6 to 9 months in a very similar tone as we did back in Washington in 2010 about what is health care, what is covered, what is not covered. And so we're urging people now to become aware of it. The bill number, as you just indicated, is Senate Bill 1313. And if you have concerns about that, or if you think you should make your views known about what should or shouldn't be in that bill, now is the time to do it. December is an excellent time. You can catch members of the General Assembly. They're in their offices. So they're not hard to get this time of the year.
Right. I'd also like to add that Illinois' history has been that we've had a ban on taxpayer-funded abortions under the Medicaid program.
Mm-hmm.
We've also had a ban on state employees' insurance policies or health insurance policies covering abortion. So our state has this history, and we want to continue to keep that. Additionally, one of the concerns is that when this goes into full force, it says that if you are a person or family who has income 400% above the poverty level. So for one person, I'm just looking at the stats, one person, it's $10,890. That's considered, if you're below that, that's the poverty level. So four times that is over $43,000.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that's not a poverty for somebody, you know? I mean, if you
have a single person under $43,000.
Sure. If you have a 27-year-old man who says, I don't want any health insurance, and he's making under the $43,000, whether he makes over or under, he's going to have some kind of health insurance whether he likes it or not. But secondly, if it's under, then there's going to be some tax credit or some advanced tax credit. So the government, the people, through taxpayers, are going to pay for some of that because
mm-hmm.
they consider them in poverty. So it's not just the Medicaid situation or state employees. It's going to be a huge chunk of the population of Illinois.
If you have a quick question for Ralph, the number is 312-255-8408. We have about 6-7 minutes left with Ralph Rivera. And Ralph, I think that's a good point. I mean, what you're talking about here, and that's the conversation we had, what was that, a year and a half ago, which is that I think the nation at large recognizes that health insurance is needed by many people, not only lower income people who automatically qualified for Medicaid, the program for extremely poor, but the intention of this program is to extend health care options for those people who are above poverty level. These are, as you indicated, you know, if a single person is earning approximately $43,000 or under, our state and federal government will now step in to subsidize some of that coverage, which people can argue whether that's a good thing or a not good thing. As the Catholic Church is saying, that health care is a right and people need to be covered. But how we do it is a different question. And I think what you're bringing up is a good point, is people need to understand that this is going to significantly impact the number of people who will be provided some form of state subsidy to receive health care. And that's a very controversial topic.
Well, that's right. And we don't, Illinois Citizens for Life doesn't weigh in on whether Affordable Health Care Act
right.
is good or bad. But what we're saying is if you're going to be subsidizing this with our tax dollars, it better not cover abortion. And that's that's our thrust and the goal, as is many of the pro-life groups, as is Catholic Conference of
mm-hmm,
Illinois, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So we want to make sure that is, we're not paying our tax dollars for abortion.
Right. And I think the Catholic teaching is that, health care is a right and people have a right to be covered at some minimal level. But once again, how we do it is an issue of prudential judgment. So we are standing for increasing health care coverage, but we don't take positions in terms of how it should be done. The one thing we do believe is that it shouldn't cover, abortions and other morally objectionable services. Ralph, in a couple minutes, you want to speculate the Illinois Supreme Court? I'm sorry, the U.S. Supreme Court. Jeez, U.S. Supreme Court. Yeah, they're taking up. Go ahead.
Go on. Well, they're going to be hearing oral arguments on next March, March 2012. And I believe there are two issues. One is the states have asked whether it's constitutional for people to be forced to buy something.
Right.
That's unheard of. And so you're forced to buy. But secondly, I think it's whether states should be forced to kind of be a part of this program. And there's some items in there. So there are going to be kind of two items there. But the main one for that they're pushing is, can you, under the U.S. Constitution, force somebody to buy something?
Right. Big question. And I think there's actually four questions that the court has decided, but I think that what you were getting at is, through the actions of the federal government providing significant sums of federal money, is it a coercive element to the states to participate in this program? And we'll see what the court says, and the prognosticators are all over the place in terms of what they think the Supreme Court will do on the individual mandate or not. So according to your information then, the court will hear oral arguments in March. Is that what you're indicating?
That's correct. And I was just reading some material that they'll give them about 5 hours oral arguments, and then I think by June they might decide. So,
right in the thick of a presidential election.
That's right.
So that'll be a news story, I'm certain, in terms of what happens with the widely controversial healthcare legislation that President Obama led the efforts to pass back in March. So we'll see where that all goes, because that will be a big topic of conversation. Ralph, we got about two, three minutes left. In Illinois Citizens for Life, I take it that you're very concerned about this issue and any other issues that you want to just put forth while we have 2 minutes here?
Okay, well, I think...
I know you're working on the sex ed bill.
There's a sex education bill that, schools... Public schools right now can choose to do sex education or not. That's the current law. But if they do, they have to have a certain standard, which is abstinence. This bill, House Bill 3027, says, well, you have to have a contraception component in there, which is really condom training for students as young as 11 years old. This is incredible here. And a number of these so-called curriculums on comprehensive sex ed deal with the abortion issue, kind of make light of it, even give misinformation on it and so forth. So we're very concerned about this. Also, this law goes into effect. It would wipe out the abstinence education programs, who aren't going to get into teaching condom training, that type of thing. They'll talk about STDs. They'll talk about character building. They'll talk about abstinence, but they're not going to get into that condom training, and some of this curriculum is pretty graphic stuff for any age, but 11 years old. My goodness!
Give the bill number, and what people need to do in order to express their opposition to it.
Okay, it's House Bill 3027. It's kind of gets messy to explain it, but it's back in the House from the Senate, where it was amended. So now the House is taking it up, and only the House is taking it up. So if they want to voice their view, they would call their state representative. And that could come up on the 29th. You just never know.
Correct. And that's House Bill 3207, correct?
3027.
I'm sorry, 3027.
Right.
And that's something that I know you've been very much involved with, and we've been involved with as well, to express our concerns and opposition to it. Ralph, thanks so much for joining us here this morning, and good luck to you, and best have a good Thanksgiving, and hopefully you'll take some time off and come back a little bit more well-rested. I know it's been a couple long weeks for a lot of us here doing the work in Springfield, and I know you have to go back and forth, and you're in Springfield a lot, and it's time away from your family and friends, and I know that takes its toll on all of us. So thank you for all you do, and we'll be also signing off this morning here with saying goodbye and thank you to Bishop Papraki, who joined us from Springfield this morning to talk a little bit about religious liberties and what is going on with the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, and also for Joyce DeRiga, who was able to make it this morning to promo a little bit about what's going on in the upcoming edition of the Catholic New World. This is Bob Gilligan of the Catholic Conference. Thanks to everybody for listening. We'll be back on the third Monday in December for the final show of the year. It's our privilege coming to you each and every month to give you an update on what's going on in Springfield. and in Washington, D.C. So on behalf of all the people at the Catholic Conference, we hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving. And thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back next month. Take care.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day and God bless you.